Okay, thank you, Percy.
Yeah.
All right, in Ephesians chapter 3, the question is, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Well, we know according to 1 Corinthians that God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, and we're instructed to rightly divide the word of truth according to the Apostle Paul's epistles. In the context of Ephesians chapter 3, we'll really go back to chapter 1 and chapter 2. But look at chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, well, the cause is in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Well, let's look at the cause, and then maybe we can see this intent that now by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And when we say the church, we're talking about the church, the body of Christ. We're not talking about the local assembly. We're talking about the church, the body of Christ. Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, if I put on the board up here, the Apostle Paul, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and gave him a message. And we normally write down Romans to Philemon, but that's not positively correct. Paul wrote 6 epistles to those who first trusted in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. And those that he wrote to in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, are in God's covenant promises. In other words, you can go back in the Old Testament and find these people's salvation hid in the scriptures back here. But when you get to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, there is a wisdom there that the world knew nothing about. It was kept secret, and it was hid in God. In other words, God made it known to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts 18, when Paul was in the temple, Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul and told him to get out of Jerusalem. They will not receive your testimony concerning me. Well, the testimony that he's talking about there is that Christ had died for some people's sins according to the scriptures. But he said, I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. He's sending Paul to some Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. In the last 7 epistles that Paul wrote, and I hesitantly say this, that they are not in the covenants of promise because of the book of Philippians. Those Philippians, Paul knew in Acts chapter 16. They would have been allied with Israel, but Paul did not write to them until he became a prisoner. You understand? So that puts the complete word of God in Paul's epistle. But in Acts 9, Paul did not get the complete word of God. So there's something hid in God, and that is the issue in the book of Ephesians. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And when Paul says our inheritance, that would include both groups of people. All those people that Paul wrote to in Romans to Philemon. That would include all of them. Now, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Well, beloved, I already know, according to chapter 1, that we have redemption. Look at verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. A reference to His beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, I know that He said that in verse, go back to verse 14, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. In other words, Jesus Christ purchased those who first trusted in Christ. He purchased those that, after they heard the word of truth, they trusted Jesus Christ. They were baptized by the Spirit into the same body that those who first trusted in Christ were in. And there's a day coming of the redemption of both groups of people. And in Ephesians chapter 2, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity. In other words, there was enmity between these two groups of people before these got saved over here. There, these back here that had first trusted in Christ, they had ordinances. They had different gifts of the Spirit over here. These over here that after they heard the word of truth, trusted Christ as their Savior. So there's a problem between them, but the enmity was taken out of the way. Look at it. In chapter 2, verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So there's one new man out of both groups of people. So go back to chapter 3, verse 10 now. To the intent that now, not in time past, not back here to those who first trusted in Christ, but now, when Paul wrote this as a prisoner for us Gentiles, now, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers. Where are these principalities and powers at? They're in the heavenly places, aren't they? Well, do they hear the word of God when we preach? They certainly do. Do they know when a person trusts Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I believe they do. Go to the whole chapter 3 and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, this would be some of the reason about the manifold wisdom of God back there in chapter 3. In Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, our warfare is not with the Baptists or the Methodists or the Catholics in the flesh. Our warfare is a spiritual warfare. It's against principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, are there high places where the principalities and powers are at? Mm-hmm. Well, I would think that heaven would be high, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's do it there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1. Would to God that you bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached unto you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself, as the truth of Christ is in me. No man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now these people that preach another Jesus and another spirit, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And I believe that these people here are like, well, it's like Satan from up here in the high above heavens up here, demoniac angels up here that are preaching through men down here in the churches, in the pulpits, that are not preaching the gospel of Christ. Go to chapter 10 while we're here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now here's our verses. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now in parentheses, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, we don't need a bunch of guns or swords or anything such as that, or tanks or cannons. Why? Because our warfare is a spiritual warfare. We're warring against principalities and powers in the heavenly places, not on the earth. In other words, if I have a mind to go to a Catholic church, I need to go there knowing what they preach. And if I can't sit there without causing an uproar, I need to not even go. I need to stay out of there. Yeah. In other words, my warfare ain't against them people, it's against the leaders of them people. Yeah. And I reference that. Well, I'll tell you what, Duke, hold your place here and go to Matthew chapter 23 with me. Let's look what this did about this type of a situation here. in Matthew chapter 23. In verse 1, to pick up the context, we'll start in verse 1 here. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Well, I'm reminded when I read this about my brother-in-law, a Methodist that he is, and my sister, and she was supposed to have been brought up in a Grace Church, as I were, and being the Grace Church it was, it didn't teach her proper, and I don't be ashamed of saying that. It was not very dogmatic, I'll put it that way, on scripture and doctrine. And therefore, the people that came out of there are easily led by these demoniac powers in heavenly places. Well, anyway, I was there at their house one day, and this Methodist preacher there, my brother-in-law, he's not no alcoholic or nothing, and he'd take a little nip every now and then, and I don't got no problem with that. If you want to take a nip, that's your business. I mean, we're not to be let anybody judge us at meat or drink or respect the holy day and stuff. And anyway, the preacher, he looked at the preacher and he said, "You want a little toddy?" And he said, "Yeah." And my brother-in-law said, "You know, I thought we wasn't supposed to drink." He said, "Don't do as I do, do as I say." And I think about that when I read this right here. Observe these people. Watch what they're doing. But don't do what they do, because they say and don't do. And I think about the priest especially. Well, anyway, verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. Well, that's where the religious church is at today. And I watch old Joel Osteen every now and then, and he is a terrific orator. He is a beautiful speaker. But what he is saying at the end don't amount to a hill of beans. It won't save nobody, and it will not instruct anybody in the Word of God rightly divided. Now, let's for time's sake, come down to verse 8. "Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master." Well, rabbi must mean master then. My master. Even Christ. "And all ye are brethren." Verse 9, "Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." Well, where is our father at?
Not all heaven.
Well, where's Satan at?
He's in the heavens.
Is Satan still in heaven?
Yes.
Well, he certainly is. Hold Matthew 23 and go to Revelation chapter 7.
Well, he's in the heavens.
Well, I apologize. Do what?
Satan is in the heavens, but the Lord is above all heavens.
Yeah. Right. Go to chapter 12. I don't mean chapter 7. I want you to take Revelation 12, and we'll wind up. Let's go to let's go to verse 1. Pick up on what Satan is doing. Reason why our warfare is against Satan and not against the people in these churches. Now, I know that sometimes when we rub shoulders with these people, if I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this, there are sparks that are flying. Mm-hmm. You know how it is when you got an enemy and you get too close to him, you can feel the sparks fixing to fly and all. Mm-hmm. So, but our warfare is not with the people. It's with the leaders of the people.
Yeah.
And then they are led by demoniac spirits in heaven. And that's how I understand in the book of Daniel, when Daniel was praying, and it took the angel 21 days to get through that mess up yonder of fighting the demoniac powers in heaven up yonder. So, then I believe, personally, this is what I believe, I don't know if I could prove this by the scripture to you, but I believe, personally, that's why when the redemption of our vile body takes place, the Lord Himself, not that His angel couldn't do it, but the Lord Himself will come down and get us and take us back to the throne of God, because we got to go through all of this over here.
Yeah.
All of it. And I know when Jesus Christ was crucified, He told Mary and them on the day of His resurrection, He said, "Touch me not, I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go over there to Galilee and tell my disciples I'll meet them over yonder." And that evening, He was back over there, and He done been to where God the Father is. And if y'all been watching TV about this comet they are talking about,
it's
traveling at 91,000 miles an hour.
Yeah. Wasn't this thing's going to hit the earth or crash into the earth?
Well, you know, one hit somewhere in a lake over in Russia the other day.
Yeah.
A meteorite. Yeah. But they say this thing is traveling at 91,000 miles an hour.
Looking today.
Can you imagine in a week's time how far that thing has gone? Well, anyway, that's a vast area out there.
Yeah.
I was watching Modern Marvels yesterday on the History Channel. There's several nations, and I don't remember all the nations, that have, and this place is in Peru, where this is being set up. It's the driest place in the world. They have got telescopes down there. And the reason, and this is, they're spending billions, they told how many billions of dollars they're spending on these telescopes, and they got this special machine that it's the only machine in the world that can carry these telescopes up and put them on these concrete platforms that they have built down there. And you know what the purpose of them are for? Mm-hmm. To find out how the universe come about. I can buy a 1611 King James Bible at the dollar store for $9.99, and I can show you in the first chapter of Genesis chapter 1 how the universe came about.
Yes.
And it won't cost you several billion dollars. But who believes the book?
Well, if they found out the truth, they wouldn't tell it to you anyway.
Sir?
If they found out the truth,
they wouldn't believe it.
Most of the
commentators about the Bible, especially scientist-type people, they think most of the stories in the Bible are just fables and stuff anyway. They don't believe they're actually real. No.
Yeah.
They don't believe that, and they've got excuses for Israel walking across on dry land across the Red Sea.
They got the new study on TV about studying the Bible.
Yeah.
And they got this old gal on there, and she was saying, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the 12, they didn't know one another. These are all separate gospels, and they didn't know, you know. I listened to about 30 seconds and flipped it, because I knew the
reason of that is because of Satan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you think about Cain, you think about why... Well, Cain got killed. While Cain killed Abel.
Yeah.
But you know what? He thought, and you think to read it right here, he thought that he was getting rid of the seed that was going to be the king, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's through him, though, I believe, when God gave Eve another son and called his name Seth, another seed to carry on this seed right down through the line. And that was since Jesus Christ was born in Herod and he was led by the demoniac leaders. He tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. He killed all the babies from 2 years old and under the time that he had searched out where the Lord Jesus Christ was. Now, Revelation 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And I don't know what you know about the sun, but I believe in the Genesis recreation. God created two lights, the sun and the moon. The sun is the greater light to rule the day. The lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. Well, if I understand what my apostle tells me in the book of Romans, we're in nighttime now. Israel is in nighttime. They are as asleep, if you let me use that term. They are blinded today. The only light that Israel has today is by the church, the body of Christ. And this old thing on TV that you see right now that's going on, and I forget how they call the program, it has to do with the Jews and the Gentiles, the Christians and the Jews being brought together. No, it ain't. God is not dealing with Israel today. This is nighttime. God is dealing today with anybody that will believe that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, died for men's sins. Now, in this context, in Revelation 12, verse 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman. And Israel is referenced to the wife of God, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And I suspect it's like the parable who, when Jesus Christ said, whosoever this stone shall fall on will grind him to powder. So I suspect this has something to do with that if you study it out here. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And this would have to do with kings and different things. And not going into that tonight to get to where we've headed here now. Verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, reason for devour her child as soon as it was born. In other words, in the book of Ezekiel, the devil said, I'm going to exalt my throne above the throne of God. I'm going to sit in the seat of God and be as God. And in Isaiah and in Ezekiel, God Almighty says, you are not God, but you are a man. And he's going to cast the devil into the bottomless pit over here, and people are going to look at him as he goes by and say, is this the character that deceived the world? Well, how is the world being deceived today? By the leadership of Satan. And I believe the Pope is one of the worst leaders that this world has ever seen. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And I expect you can find that in Mark chapter 13. Jesus Christ is as a man taking a far journey. In other words, he left here, he went up, he says, I am coming again over here at the second coming. That ain't got nothing to do with the rapture of the church. The second coming and the rapture are different, and you can find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. There are 2 days in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, and wouldn't you know Satan has got in the middle of the preaching of that, and they make that all one day there? But there's 2 days there. The coming of the Lord and our gathering. There's a comma in there, and it says, and our gathering together unto him. So, now watch what he does here, verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Look what a rod is for. Proverbs chapter 13. I apologize. Chapter 10. Verse 13, boy, I'm telling you what's the truth. If I had a brain, I'd be very dangerous.
I feel like the Walmart angry person.
In verse 2, I'm just going to scan through chapter 10 here now. Proverbs chapter 10. Treasures, verse 2, treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing.
Proverbs.
Wow, ain't that something? Do what?
Proverbs 10.
Proverbs 10, verse 2.
Oh, 2, okay. Right.
Yeah, 10, verse 2. Right. Treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. And I believe that's in any dispensation there.
Yeah.
In other words, these back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what did they believe? They believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Israel.
Yeah.
Now, what do we believe? We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, go to verse, for time's sake, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Now, verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Well, how do you beat somebody with a rod today? With the word. With the word. You don't take a little rod and go to a church somewhere and start beating on people that claim to be Baptists or Methodists and or whatever, and they don't trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You preach the word to them. Go back to Revelation chapter 12 now, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, as Israel did in the Old Testament, where she hath a place prepared of God, as Israel will do in the tribulation over here. They're told, when you see the Antichrist, run, flee, hide in the mountains. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Now, verse 7, we did all that to get to this. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Well, wait a minute. Hold the fort. If we're in the book of Revelation, Paul has lost his mind. Hold your place here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, we may not get back to these other books, but I want you to see something right here. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Is this the day of salvation in Romans to Philemon?
Yes.
Well, it certainly is. Well, that ain't what the book of Revelation said. Go back to chapter 12 of Revelation. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. When is the now? After the war in heaven. After the demoniac powers are cast out of heaven up here. After they are gone. No more war. But you know what fascinates me the most of all about that? Go over to Revelation chapter 21. I apologize. I want chapter 20. That's right. I want chapter 20. When I say 21,
yeah.
Go to chapter 20.
Verse 8.
Verse 1. Listen, beloved. This is why Jesus Christ said what he did in Matthew 25, and we're going to go there in just a minute. In Revelation 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit, a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. Well, those people we read about there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 are led by the leadership of principalities in heavenly places up there, and they are operating through men on this earth. Now, how do I know they are? Well, hold your place here and go to John. Give me a minute here. I'm going to have to look this one up. My mind ain't sharp as it used to be no more. Chapter. I'm always have trouble with this, and I don't know why. I reckon Satan don't want me to remember this. Go to chapter.
About the Antichrist?
Well, it's where.
Let's see.
Oh, my.
I'm coming, my father.
Chapter 13, I believe it is.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's that far back or not.
What's the phrase, person?
Huh?
What's the phrase?
Where Satan entered into. Yeah, chapter 13. I apologize. I just. Sometimes I get verses in my mind.
I know.
And I can't match the subject with the verse. All right, in Revelation chapter 13, let's go to verse 21. When Satan had thus said, he was troubled and, I'm sorry about that. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be that of whom he spake. Then he lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, and after sup, Satan entered into him. And I don't believe that Judas Iscariot had the spirit of Satan in him as he has here. And I realize all unsaved people have either the spirit of the Lord or the spirit of Satan that we're born with. But this situation here is a little different. Satan entered into this thing. And you got to remember the thing there in Acts chapter 16 about the woman that was preaching, and Paul commanded the spirit to come out of her, and he came out. In other words, Satan was in this woman to make her do what she did. Now go back to Revelation chapter 20. So there's something going on here. Now this angel, he binds Satan and put him in the bottomless pit, verse 3, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be filled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now, verse 5 for time's sake, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, I know during the 1,000-year millennial reign, there are no demoniac spirits deceiving anybody in the world anymore. So, the manifold wisdom of God is being made known today by the church, the body of Christ. What is that? That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. In other words, there are people that look like preachers, they act like preachers, and they have real good speech. They don't slaughter the language like some of us do.
Well, Satan was a good orator, wasn't he?
Yeah, they're a good orator.
Satan was. Yes.
Yeah. They are trained very well.
Yeah.
And they smell real good, they look real good, they act real good, they won't walk on the grass, they won't kick the cat, they won't do anything wrong, yet they are led by the devil and his angels. And as long as they are up there, we, as the members of the church, the body of Christ, are making known to some people the manifold wisdom of God. And the reason we're doing this, and I believe that's why in Ephesians chapter 4 that he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and I believe we're down to the teachers right now.
I think so.
I believe the dispensation of the grace of God ain't got much longer. Now, it may have 1,000 years. I don't know. May have 2,000 years. I don't know. I hope that I'm in the rapture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you look puzzled.
No, I'm just thinking about that verse that says that day won't overtake us as a thief.
Right.
Being children of light, we're not supposed to be taken, caught off guard with it.
Well, you see, those 2 days I mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, there are 2 days there.
Right.
The coming of the Lord, and our gathering together unto him. Paul said, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled by word or by letter asked from us, as that day cannot come except to come a falling away first. Well, that's the second coming.
As from us,
A letter asked from us.
These corrupt Bibles?
Well, no, I think that Paul is saying that there are some people saying that we got different grace preachers now that don't all say the same thing, do you?
No.
Well, where's the letter from?
From the NIV.
It's from God.
No,
We got the written word of God here, yeah. Not of man.
Yeah.
Paul said all scriptures is given by inspiration of God. So if a letter comes to me from Joe Blow or Dr. Snodgrass or whoever, whether he's a grace preacher or not, I don't care. If he's saying what the Bible says, I'm in agreement with him.
Yeah.
But if he's saying something that he sees, yeah, it ain't in the verse, I'm going to have a problem with him.
Yeah.
Now, I may not argue with him, but I am not going to agree with him. You understand what I'm saying? All right.
Well, I think that's the reason God put the Bible in sixth grade English.
Is most that, certainly did.
Simplicity.
Well, you know what I believe about that? You all know where we live. What a world do we live? You just about said the Bible Belt. Do you know up north? And I had a lady from Boston tell me and my wife, you know whose lady this was? Barbara McNeil. You remember Jim and Barbara McNeil? Her mother from Boston came down here. I was having a class in their home over on Highland Road, down the road from where Russell and Dot live. She said, y'all study your Bible like that down south? Said, we don't study the Bible up north. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bible Belt, sixth grade English.
Yeah.
Why do I not need the Greek and the Hebrew?
Because we got it all right here.
I got it written in English for me.
Yeah.
God knew that I would speak English. He knew where I would live. He knew that I would live in the Bible Belt. So he preserved an English Bible for me. And Paul said, we use great plainness of speech.
Amen.
Great plainness of speech. I don't need the Greek and the Hebrew to understand the Bible. All I got to do is believe the verse means what it says. And God will give me the wisdom to understand it. Now, in Revelation chapter 20, this is what fascinates me. Verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Man, ain't that something?
Yeah.
You know what? If we had an Adam is a good example of having a perfect relationship with God Almighty,
yeah,
a perfect environment.
Yeah.
Eat anything he wanted to in there of any green herb, the fruit of the trees, but don't eat of that tree over yonder,
yeah,
of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die.
Yeah.
When we're born to die.
Amen.
That's it.
Dead man walking.
But Jesus Christ at Calvary abolished death for the church, the body of Christ. Now we may have to go to sleep in Christ, but we can't die. Those over here in the after the rapture of the church in the book of Hebrews through Revelation, they can die. But those that endure to the end, the second death has no power over them. Now go to Matthew chapter 25 with me. Let's look at something here. Matthew chapter 25. Now this is so clear. In Matthew 25, and this will be after the tribulation, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him. Now, didn't we not see that the devil had some angels in the book of Revelation?
Yeah.
Okay. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations. Now, who is deceiving the nations today?
The God of this world.
Who is deceiving our president today?
Lucifer.
This thing they call Obama.
Yeah.
Whatever he is.
Yeah, I think that's the truth.
You make up your own. I got my personal opinion that I can't repeat on this tape here. I think he ought to be impeached and deported at the same meeting. Oh, me. Well, anyway. You know what I think about? No, I'm serious with you now. I think about those people back there in the Old Testament when they asked Samuel to give us a king. We want a king like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
God said, they ain't rejected you. They rejected me. Go down there and tell them what this king's going to do. Give it to them anyway. Mm-hmm. And he went down there and said, man, that fellow's going to be terrible. He's going to take your children, your boys and your girls, and he's going to use them for his benefit and all that. And they said, we don't care. We want him anyhow. And I think about Obama, the commentators, the people that know what's going on, tried to warn these American people about voting for Obama. And what'd they say? Well, we want him.
Yeah.
We want him. We want a change.
Yeah.
You got to change, change for the worse.
Yeah, I think
we've gotten further and further and further away from God.
Amen.
Even now in the military, the graduates from the Naval Academy, there is a statement that they make, so help me God.
Yeah.
It is not required that they say that anymore. It is a voluntary thing. Because some atheist said, I don't believe in God, and that offends me.
Well, old Perenfrey, she's an atheist, and she was one of the people that the president just gave what kind of honor is it anyway, of some kind of a big to-do anyway. There were several of them, and every one of them in there was a bunch of hireling prophets or whatever, and that's what she is.
Yeah.
She's got her own church now. You know that.
Yeah.
She's teaching. And but she was, he bestowed this honor upon her, you know. I thought to myself,
well, if people don't think that Satan is the God of this world, they need to check out what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, has gone up and left it, and he's let mankind just hang his own self. You know the old saying, give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself. Well, we're doing it. Now in Matthew 25, verse 32, and before him, before the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, he tells them about some things that they did for him. Now, come to verse 41. Then shall he say also on them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, that ain't happened yet. And Satan ain't kicked out of heaven right now. He's in full charge of this thing. And God asked him in the book of Job, where in the world you been? He said, I've been going to and fro, up and down, seeing who I can deceive. Check him out in the book of Job.
Toss to and fro.
Amen. Yeah. Who's tossing people to and fro?
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Yes. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You see, the manifold wisdom of God, the only people that even realize this are people that endeavor to preach Paul's epistles, and Paul's epistles rightly divided. Because that is the issue in the book of Ephesians. It is not the same as those who first trusted in Christ. It is very different. And y'all know that what Satan did in the very first verse of Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all ain't forgot that, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go to Ephesians. Hold chapter 4 and go to chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1.
Made that group or something, the two there.
Well, you see.
Yeah, it moves.
And I know this is being taped. And I know that Grace Bible Church don't preach the truth of the Word of God right about it. I know what they're saying.
There ain't no difference.
They group all people, all Gentiles, in the same bucket as those who first trusted in Christ. They claim because we trust Christ as our Savior, we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But Paul wrote the book of Ephesians to people that are not in the covenants of promise.
Yeah.
Well, you either is or you ain't.
Yeah.
It's like a woman. She either is pregnant or she ain't.
Yeah.
Jonathan and his wife thought they were pregnant.
Yeah.
But she wasn't, was she? You either is or you ain't. And we ain't in the covenants of promise. Now, Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, comma, to the saints which are at Ephesus, comma, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. You know what your new Satan books say? And I'm going to read it like they wrote it in their new book. Even the New King James does it.
Yeah.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, which are the faithful in Christ Jesus. One group of people. You know what that does? That destroys the manifold wisdom of God. God, in His wisdom, before the foundation of the world, knew this group of people over here that would not be in the covenants of promise, and the only way that He could get them to in fellowship with Him was for Jesus Christ to die for their sins, and He had to keep that a secret hid in Himself. Go to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Not for the lost, for the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My time's about gone, but go back to chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see, that's all men without distinction of whether they're saved, what color they are, what national origin, or what their moral character is, that's to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, to them who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with the confidence by the faith of Him. Not by my faith, it's by His faith. So we, as members of the church, the body of Christ, that endeavor to preach Paul's epistles, rightly divided, have a wisdom that the world and a lot of the preachers that claim to know the mystery don't know about it. And we got some grace preachers,
well,
and I believe they're going to stand in sadness someday if they get to the judgment seat of Christ. Their works are going to burn, and they're going to be very sad when that day comes.
I think a lot of them, the reason they don't teach the truth of it and they see it is because they ain't no
money in it and there's no fellowship in it. And when you forsake God's word just to have fellowship with somebody, you're getting in a bad bind.
Yep.
You're getting yourself
God
in trouble.
God tells you to come out and away from and touch you not the unclean thing. When they're doing that, they're inviting the unclean thing in there with them.
Yeah. Well, we're just like Israel back there wanted the king. We want to be like everybody else.
Yes.
we got to build us a fancy church, get these people in debt up to the ears that they can't pay. It's happened, ain't it, before?
Absolutely.
And it's happened before, ain't it?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I appreciate y'all being here. Well, I wish we could get some rest of them to come, but that ain't our problem.
Well,
I mean, we can't help what they do.
No.